sir?
My name is Paul Graff.
Okay, Mr. Graff, I believe that the Honorable Mr. Johnson will be conducting a hearing at this time. So if we just hold on, he will be the lead for the hearing. So the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good, good. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Claims. I want to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, okay?
Okay.
So you have the Honorable David Neal. You have our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. You have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you appear before this board for an absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that your understanding, too?
Yes.
Okay. You are currently serving a 10-year sentence for attempt to commit molestation of a child. You became parole eligible on June 28th of 2018. You have a sentence end date of June 28th, 2023. Is that about right, sir?
Give or take.
Okay. So it looks like, sir, you have two expired 7-year terms that you served for attempt molestation of a child, and then you had a lifetime probation, which it got violated, and you're now serving a 10-year sentence as a result of the lifetime probation being violated. Is that right?
Yes.
And then on the previous charges, you had 10 charges, 7 of them which were dismissed as a result of a plea agreement that you entered into with the court. Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay. So according to the institutional progress report that we have here today, it looks like that you were released, that you're going to stay with your parents, Mr. and Ms. William Graff at 2919 North 82nd Street in Scottsdale, Arizona. Is that still the same plan, sir?
No, there's been a change.
Okay, what's that change, sir?
He'll actually be staying with my brother-in-law, and I have his name and all that information for you.
Okay, if you want to give that to me now, I'll take it.
Sure. Okay. His name is Mike Groff, G-R-O-P-H.
Okay.
Let me know if you're going too fast.
No, you go. That's just about the right place for me, sir.
1025 East McKellips Road.
How do you spell McKellips?
Capital M, little C, capital K, E, L, L, I, P, S.
Oh, McKellips. Okay. All right.
That's in Tempe, Arizona. 85281.
Okay.
Can I have a phone number for him if you need that?
Well, I'll take that now too, sir. I'll take that phone number now too.
Okay. It is 480.
Wait, say it again. Start over.
480.
480.
233.
233.
9381.
9381. Okay. Thank you. Let me just go back over this with you, sir, so I can make sure that I have it right. It's your brother-in-law. His name is Mike Grout, G-R-O-T-H. Lives at 1025 East McKellips Road in Tempe. Zip code is 85281. Well, that's the area code. And his phone number is 480-233-9381.
Correct.
Okay. So, looks like you have taken some sex offender treatment that you have programmed since you've been incarcerated last year and in 2015. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Have you taken any other programming since you've been there, sir?
I've actually been taking the wastewater treatment classes, and I've actually been certified and licensed so that when I get out, I do have opportunity for work.
Okay.
And none of the other programs haven't been available because they haven't really, they go by my end date and I'm not quite ready or available, not close enough to my end date to take them yet.
Okay. So I see that you received some tickets in 2016 to us for a violation of looks like maybe department rule, false reporting, and another violation. Two of them were minors, one of them was a major. Can you tell me what those were about? One was in February, June, and December of 2016.
Can you repeat that?
You have some tickets that you received since you've been incarcerated?
Yes.
You received a ticket in February of 16 for violation of department something. Then in June of 16, you had a false reporting. That was a minor. And then in December of 16, you had a violation of department, which was a major.
That's correct.
Can you tell me what that was about, sir?
The major was a ticket for having pornography. The other three minors were for not following the disciplinary, or not the disciplinary, but the regulations and rules of the Department of Corrections.
So it looks like in 2003, you were before the board and denied. Did you, the 14-year sentence that you had, did you actually complete those until you had your sentence end date?
There was what? I couldn't quite understand you, sir.
The 14-year sentence that you were previously serving, the 2 7-year sentence? Did you stay incarcerated until you had your sentence end date and then were released out on parole?
Yes. I actually got out right on my ERC or whatever it was that I was qualified for in July of 2005. So it's actually about 12 and a half years.
Okay. So according to the information that we have through the pre-sentence investigation report, it looks like this involved three different victims back in May of 93, back around that time. One of them was a 17-year-old victim who I believe was your niece. One involved back in April of 93, your 11-year-old stepdaughter. And then you had another one in 92, 93, that was a 5-year-old, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you went to court, and as I said earlier, I believe you took a plea agreement as a result of going to court, and some of the charges were dismissed, and you lined up with the 2 7-year sentence.
Correct.
So, sir, you was out, and you were on parole. Why did you violate your parole while you're out, which led to you being reincarcerated again?
Well, I was out on probation, the lifetime probation for the third charge, and I was homeless, I was without a job, and I was going through rough times, and it's not an excuse, it's just a fact. Uh-huh. And I started getting stupid and using meth.
So what about, because part of your violations that I read in there, it had to actually do with, were you on the monitoring system where you were supposed to have a curfew and you were late coming in from curfew?
When I first got out.
Okay, and you also, because you got out and you were violated and reinstated one time, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so, and you were still having contact with minor children or in the presence of minor children and not telling your PO. The way it reads in the report is that you were having contact but you didn't report it to your probation officer.
That's not true.
Okay, so what happened?
I had, well, that was during the time that we were in a homeless situation and I had gotten permission from the PO to take all our belongings over to her ex-husband where the kids were, but she knew about it, the probation officer, as well as the surveillance officer. We weren't planning to stay there or anything. I always waited outside, so I had no contact with the kids. And it came to a situation where we had no place to go because we were home, didn't have a transportation. So we were forced to use the bus line or the tram, the new bus thing. So we were kind of stranded, so we ended up having to stay there. So we ended up staying at that residence with her ex-husband, and he knows what the charges were. He kept the kids alone in a separate room. We stayed in the one bedroom, so there was no contact.
Okay. When you say we, who are you referring to?
My wife.
Okay. So you also had, they tried to put you in some substance abuse classes, and you didn't go, or what happened? Why did you attend those?
No, I had substance abuse classes, and I was going. I was attending them every week. There was a few times where I had to go for a UA, and I didn't have the money, even though I showed up. I called the PO and let them know I didn't have the money, couldn't round it up, and you want to take the test the next morning if that's what they needed or whatever. But
so it shows on here that there's four classes that you missed. Do you recall how many classes you actually missed?
On the test interviews?
Yes, sir.
I couldn't actually. There might have been a few. My memory's a little shady on that, but
so, Mr. Graff, you had a ticket in 2016 for having pornography. You were sentenced to, I believe it was 2 7-year sentence. And then after that, you got out and had lifetime probation. You violated the probation one time and got reinstated. And then you violated it a second time and went back to court and they sentenced you to a 10-year sentence for the violation of a lifetime probation. So what has changed that if you got out that, you know, these things still wouldn't occur? I mean, your history does not show that there's you know, that they wouldn't occur again. It wouldn't likely to offend or do something wrong.
Well, the fact of the matter is I've been doing everything I can to stay out of trouble. I mean, yes, I've had a few minor tickets here. No excuses, but I've been doing a lot of thought processing. I have a lot of good network with my family as far as support, and the honest and open communication is a lot deeper now than it ever has been. I have a good possibility of jobs because of the class that I took. I have no desire to go back to any kind of drinking or drugging or any of that nature. I just want to lead a clean, productive life as a citizen.
So since you got, and correct me if I'm wrong, sir, since you had lifetime probation and then you got the sentence for 10 years, when you're released, will you still be on probation or you won't be on probation?
No.
You won't be on
probation? I will be off probation. I will have my year and a half of parole if I'm granted today or until whenever it is.
Okay. So, Mr. Graf, so can just explain to me, you had, if you get out and you're not on probation, lifetime probation, you know, what would be the difference between now and you not violating or doing something wrong, as opposed when you were on probation and you were on lifetime probation, you wind up doing a 10-year sentence as a result of it. I mean, even with that over your head, you wind up going and doing the 10-year sentence as a result of the violations that you had and you were reinstated. I'm trying to, you know, understand if you were let out early, what is it that would say that you wouldn't reoffend?
Well, as I said, I want to be a productive member of the society, not somebody who goes against the rules and everything else. I've got a lot of time in here and a lot of time to think about things, especially over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. I've lost everything twice. I don't want to go through this ever again. And I put a lot of people in a bad spot because of my idiocy.
Okay, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Graff, when did you complete your sex offender treatment?
I'm still in the class.
So but it's in three parts, right? Three sections?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so there's the third part is our maintenance
section. Yeah, well, they refer to it as primary, I believe.
Okay, and I'm just curious about the timing of the violation for pornography. What was the pornography? What was it?
Adult email.
Okay, and that was in December of 2016. And at what point in your treatment were you at that point? Were you in the second part?
I was in treatment, and they came down on me because I was actually in a class before that, which was MRT, which is moral recognition therapy.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I was in that class when I actually had that taken. And it's like a precursor to the SOETP.
Okay, so you haven't really started the SOETP specifically yet. At the time you had the major?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, Mr. Graff, I don't see any other questions coming from the board. Did you have them? Oh, Mr. Neal, I'm sorry.
Yes. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Sir.
Wow, that feedback.
Sir, I'm going to ask you a question about your probation on that violation. So, it's common practice for offenders to be on lifetime probation and then they violate it intentionally so they can do a 10-year sentence and be done with it. Did you violate it intentionally?
No, sir.
What happened when you were violated?
Well, I was homeless and trying to find work and try to take care of my wife, but she was in a wheelchair at the time, and I wasn't planning to go back to work or go back to get violated, that's for sure, because I was, you know, we were having struggles, I was still happy being with her, you know, trying to just be a productive person. And I was called over to the parole office, and my wife came with me, and that's when they violated me.
Okay. According to your aim, this is from a detainer to be lifetime probation. So the information that we're seeing is that there was something else that went through the sentencing. I can't see whether that was
from what I understand, it was the being around minors and LDA.
So you were
the report of my being around my wife's kids and LDA.
Where were you being in association with minors other than people passing by on the street?
Could you repeat that?
Okay. You say that your understanding of probation violation is that you were associating with minors. Okay.
Right. My wife's kids.
Pardon me?
My wife's kids.
Okay. So she was in a wheelchair and all of you were homeless?
No, It was just her and I that were homeless. Her kids lived with her husband, her ex-husband.
So how did you accomplish that association then?
By taking the property all over to his house, because we had nowhere else to take it.
Okay.
And being stranded there overnight.
So they violated you on one, or they revoked your probation based on one night of staying in that house with the minors?
According to my understanding of it.
So within the last year and a half, within the last 2 years, you were caught with pornography, adult pornography on your phone, and were violated, the probation was violated because you spent the night in a house with minor children, correct?
I never had any adult pornography on my phone.
Well, what
the adult pornography was here while I was in prison.
Okay, so like a magazine or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, excuse me.
That's okay.
But you were in possession of adult pornography, while you were incarcerated for probation violation, which stems from sexual abuse and child molest charges. Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Graff?
Yes.
So you did say that the first time that you were out and you were reinstated, you did have some violations for going to a pornography store or something similar to that?
I don't remember.
To a porn store? Were you looking at adult porn?
That's possible.
Okay.
I honestly do not remember. I won't deny it because I don't remember, and it's a possibility.
Okay. So this was all when you were reinstated, but and actually in the probation report it says, did you tell the probation officer that you had previously had unreported sexual contact with victims, with minors?
The only time that I had permission and let them know anything was when I was supposed to. If I went to the store and there was kids around, I always reported it. As far as the violation, they were aware that I was going over there with my wife to drop off our property and that the kids were there.
Okay.
They knew about her and her kids living with her ex-husband.
Okay. So, Mr. Graff, the board is coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, so... Then hold on just 1 minute, Mr. Graff. Excuse me, all right, can you tell me, Miss, who are you here for? Miss?
Oh, me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
All right. Yeah, okay, because we didn't get a sheet up here, I just want to make sure. So you do have one supporter, are you here in support of Mr. Graff? Okay, we do have one supporter here, and that's here. For you, sir, and I'm going to, would you like to speak at this time? Okay, if you could just come up to the mic and please just state your name and go ahead and present the information that you'd like to present to the board.
My name is Barbara Grant. I'm Paul Grant's mother.
Okay.
Since he's been incarcerated, even to this one sex offender program, which he said, was very different. It's like, you know, not what did you do and what were the products, but the thought process on this one was, what were your thoughts before this happened? And go deeper and then come forward. And he got a lot out of that, as far as I know, and he said that he did. And he's got a great family support. He's got a brother and two sisters and my ex-son-in-law. He's
going to
stay with the kids.
Is there a reason, Ms. Graff, why there was a change in where he's going to stay?
Yes, because my other son is living with me right now.
Okay. Any minor kids or grandkids then?
I have grandkids, but nobody comes over.
Okay.
I mean, I need them somewhere else. The minors are 15, 14, and 10.
Okay.
All of us are older kids, like in the 40s.
Yeah, so we certainly understand that. All right, Ms. Graff, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Graff, I'm coming back to you. That was your mother that just spoke on your behalf of you in support of you. So how much longer do you have in the classes that you have to take?
Well, I finished the first part somewhere in November, and then we go into clarifications, which is more about the writing letters and how the victim feels and that kind of thing.
So, since you've been involved in the classes, do you figure out what your triggers are?
Can you repeat that?
Since you've been involved in the class, have you figured out what your triggers are?
Yes.
And what triggers your behavior?
For one, being around bars, alcohol, mm-hmm. Being around kids, honestly. Young kids that dress provocatively, or at least in my mind I may think they're drinking, dressing provocatively.
Okay. Well, Mr. Graff, like I said, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, so is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion, sir?
Only that I believe that I can be a good, productive person out there without having any more violations or new charges or any of that nature, and be a good person. I've learned a lot during my time in prison, especially this time. Going through those classes, I've had classes out on the street, and the ones here are a lot more intense. The ones here in prison are a lot more intense than the groups I've been out there. They actually have you think and make you do a lot of thought processing.
Are you still with your wife, sir?
No, currently I have not heard from her in 4 years.
Okay. All right, Mr. Graff, the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, but I also need you to be able to hear the discussion taking place amongst the board, okay? Then we'll get back with you with the decision of the board, okay? The board is now going into discussion. We've had an opportunity to talk with Mr. Graff, as well as listen to his supporter. His mother was here to speak in support of Mr. Graff. Mr. Graff, as previously stated, is actually serving a 10-year sentence for probation violation, where he is on a lifetime probation for, he was actually charged with, I believe it was 10 counts, but he did a plea agreement and he got 7 of them were dismissed as a result of the plea agreement, and he had 3 sentences that he pled to, 2 7-year sentences which were running consecutive, and a 3rd sentence which he had the lifetime probation. He did the 2 7-year sentences. He served those out and was released to his lifetime probation. As a result, he violated probation, and it looks like he may have been arrested for it. Then they had a hearing and he was reinstated. And then after being reinstated, he violated it again. And when he went to court the second time, I believe, the judge gave him a 10-year sentence for the violation of probation. Then in 2016, Mr. Graff was involved in receiving a ticket that was a major, where he had some pornography that was still in his presence at the actual prison. And Mr. Graff is going through some classes right now. However, he hasn't completed those classes. He said the classes have helped him out, that his triggers are being around young kids, as well as hanging around bars are part of his triggers. He was enrolled in drug rehab classes, and he didn't complete those while he was out on parole. I think that Mr. Graff is really starting to turn the corner, where he's trying to get a handle on the situation that he has, but I just don't feel as though he's turned that corner, and I think that he needs to at least complete those classes that he's actually enrolled in, because according to him, those classes are helping him. They're more detailed and more in-depth to assist him with the issues that he's actually having. He does have a earned release credit date of July 28th of 2020. And eventually, he will be getting out. I think it's going to be beneficial for him to take those classes. And because of his previous record and what he's done, I just believe that those classes may help him not reoffend once he's released out, and protect those victims and citizens that are actually out there on the street. But it does sound as though Mr. Graff is trying to get a handle on it and turn that corner. That's my opinion, how I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I agree. I think he is starting to make some, definitely some positive changes. And he has some things really starting to go for him, one of them being that he's got his wastewater treatment certification. So that'll be good employment, you know, ultimately when he's released. And I like the fact that he's focused so much on his thinking before the crime and then after the crime. I'm just a little concerned that he had the major violation for pornography in 2016, but that's why I was asking about the timing of that and whether he had started the sex offender treatment yet. And it sounds like he had not, or he was just about to start it. So, but I agree with you. I think he's starting to turn down the right path and will be a good candidate at some point, but I would not support today.
Okay, so no other comments coming from the board. I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Graff home arrest, regular parole, or absolute discharge at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
There was motion by myself, second by Mr. Rittenhouse, agreed Dr. Riley, and agreed Mr. Miller. I'm also going to ask for a one-year set-off. I'm going to mark it as a serious and deliberate offense. I'm going to mark a trauma to the victim because of the age of the victim, as well as age of the victims, that there were multiple victims that were involved. I'm going to mark that he violated previous probation and parole, which is while he's in custody. He did have a history of substance abuse. He does have a prior criminal history as a result. He's a repeat offender. Also going to mark poor institutional behavior. I'm going to mark recent disciplinary infraction because it was in, I believe, December 2016 that he had the last discipline program that he had in there. I'm not going to mark lack of programming. He does have a release plan. He does have family support here. His mother's here speaking on his behalf. So those are the reasons for denial. Is there anything else the board would like to add or subtract from that?
Motions.
Okay. Mr. Graff?
Yes.
So the board has voted to deny your regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. Did you, and we have also asked for a one-year set off. Did you hear the reasons for denial, sir? Or would you like to?
Some of it.
Okay, you want me to repeat those? The reasons for denial is that it was a serious and violent offense. I'm sorry, serious and deviant offense. Trauma to the victim as the age of the victim. Age of the victim. That there were multiple victims. That violated previous parole, probation or parole. History of continued substance abuse as part of why you were violated. Prior criminal history, bad repeat offender, poor institutional behavior as a result of the ticket that you received in 16, and the recent disciplinary infractions as a result of the tickets you received in 2016, sir. So, Mr. Graff, that is going to conclude the hearing at this time, so I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear before this board. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Mr. Graff, again, thank you for taking the time and opportunity to come down to speak before this board. Thank you.